From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. Back in 2013, Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg wrote her best-selling book, Lean In. It was a clarion call to women to empower themselves in the workplace, that if they pushed hard enough, they could have it all. Now, tens of thousands of women heard that call, forming so-called Lean In circles around the world, and it worked for some of them. But for others, well, fast forward to earlier this month when none other than former First Lady Michelle Obama said out loud what a lot of women have been quietly thinking. Obama said, it's not always enough to lean in because sometimes that stuff doesn't work. You could almost hear a rising chorus of amens as the internet freaked out. So this hour on Point, we'll rethink Lean In. And you can join us. Were you a Lean In super fan? And are you still one now? Has it made a difference for your life in the workplace and at, your life at home with your family? Or is it time to put the women can have it all ideal to rest? Should we be leading in more, but not necessarily for self-interest, but to change workplaces as a whole? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Well, joining us first today from Durham, North Carolina, is Catherine Goldstein. She's a journalist and host of the forthcoming podcast, Double Shift, which focuses on the experience of working mothers. We have a link to her essay. It's titled, I Was a Sheryl Sandberg Superfan, Then Her Lean-In Advice Failed Me. That link is at onpointradio.org. Catherine, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Also with us from Stanford, California, is Anna DiPello Garcia. She's founder and president of Lean In Latinas. She's also administrative director of patient access and financial clearance services at Stanford Healthcare. Anna, welcome to you.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
It's great to have both of you. So first of all, let me just play a little bit of video. This is, I think, a cell phone video capture of what former First Lady Michelle Obama said a little earlier this month. She was in Brooklyn on her book tour for her new memoir. And, you know, she was talking about marriage and the workplace and balancing work-life, finding work-life balance. And here's what she said.
Marriage still ain't equal, y'all. It ain't equal. And I tell women that it's not equal, that whole so you can have it all. Nope, not at the same time. That's a lie. And it's not always enough to lean in because that doesn't work all the time.
Michelle Obama then later went on to say that she remembered where she was. She was maybe a little too real using the that word and said that stuff doesn't work all the time. But, you know, the language aside, the point is that she was saying, hey, look, this call to lean in at work may not have actually led to the outcome that a lot of women had hoped for. So Catherine, let me first start with you. You called yourself a Sheryl Sandberg superfan at one time. When you heard Michelle Obama say what she said, what was your reaction?
So yes, 5 years ago, I did consider myself a big fan of Sheryl Sandberg. And when I heard this quote from Michelle Obama, I also found myself vigorously nodding in agreement. My opinions on Lean In have evolved a lot in the last 5 years.
To evolved in what direction?
So I started when I was when the book first came out. I was 29 years old and sort of a hard-charging New York City professional working as a journalist. And I really felt like Lean In spoke to my circumstance. I recognized that it didn't speak to everyone, but I thought like this was a playbook that I could really take seriously. So I started my own Lean In circle. And I wrote about it for Slate, where I worked at the time. And, you know, I do think there are some really great messages in the book, but I've come in, especially around women negotiating, and I think there's also a lot of great benefits to women coming together in community around their work. Mm-hmm. But I've come to see the book as having some really, really significant flaws, and as my own life evolved, that became very, very clear.
Okay, so we'll explore those more in just a second. But Anna, let me turn to you here, because you've had a really different experience here. I mean, you're founder
Correct.
And president of Lean In Latinas. That's an organization that's grown rather dramatically in the past several years.
It has. It's actually surprised me, but what it also did was validate the fact that there is also women, Latinas in particular, who want to know how to lean in. The network is about 900 members, not just here in California, but from coast to coast and around the world. So it's really been an amazing experience. So to your earlier point on Michelle Obama, Lean In for me and my participation and experience has never been about telling women they can have it all. And I agree that's not the solution. But for some women, me included, that wasn't a choice. I had to figure out how to do it all as a single mother on unlimited income, no college education when I started in the workforce. And frankly, I wish I would have had Lean In decades ago. Also on Michelle Obama, given my experience as a Lean In leader, I would say respectfully to Michelle, the stuff does work. And particularly for women of color, and that's probably something that we share, Michelle and I. So, you know, what Lean In represents has absolutely worked for me and my community, and I can share many success stories that we've had within Lean In Latinas.
Yeah. So before we get there, though, I think
Sure. Maybe
there are some people listening out there who don't know of the book, don't know of the sort of the Lean In movement that sprung up around what Sheryl Sandberg wrote several years ago. I mean, we've got a comment here on our website from Urban the Second who said, "What does Lean In even mean? I've never heard that term before." But let's play some tape from Sheryl Sandberg herself. This is in 2010, where she gave a TED Talk that ended up inspiring her book Lean In, and she sort of describes what she thinks women ought to be doing or thinking about doing in the workplace.
If 2 years ago you didn't take a promotion and some guy next to you did, if 3 years ago you stopped looking for new opportunities, you're going to be bored because you should have kept your foot on the gas pedal. Don't leave before you leave. Stay in. Keep your foot on the gas pedal until the very day you need to leave to take a break for a child, and then make your decisions.
Okay, that's Sheryl Sandberg in 2010. Catherine, I'm going to come back to you in a second. But Anna, I'm really taken by Sheryl Sandberg saying, you know, keep your foot on the gas pedal. And I'm hearing that what you're – but I'm wondering for women such as you and the Latinos who've joined Lean In Latina, mm-hmm. aren't you – because you said you didn't – like it wasn't a choice. Like you had to learn how to do it all. So what was she saying that wasn't already a reality in your life?
It was a sense of empowerment that I felt. And for, you know, years when I started my career, I didn't know which way to turn to get help or support. And to be quite frank, I was lost in the business world. I didn't have parents who were executives or parents who even told me I should go to college. So when I got into the work environment, I didn't know which way to turn. I didn't have a network. I didn't really have sort of guiding principles, so to speak. And I figured it out. I had to, you know, as a single mother, I had to figure out how do I make progress in the workforce. And then when I got oriented to Lean In, kind of what Catherine said earlier, I thought, okay, here are the things that I need to do. I need to lean in when I'm at the table at work. Mm. There are things that I know I need to do to be successful. And as I mentioned earlier, I wish I would have had a network like Lean In Latinas, because it is not just about self-success. Lean In Latinas and the Lean In organization is about the success of everybody in the network.
Okay, so we'll talk about more about that in a second. But,
sure.
but I just want to just remind listeners here that Anna's in Stanford, California. Catherine's in Durham, North Carolina. I'm here in Boston, so we can't see each other. But I also don't want to just be like the constant intermediary between you and Catherine, mm-hmm. Anna, guys. So just feel free, Catherine and Anna, just jump in. Talk to each other. Let's like have a circle here, okay?
Okay.
So Catherine,
sure.
jump in. What do you think here? What do you think about what Anna's saying?
So I totally the idea of community, I think, for women as they navigate their careers are really important. And I think we found that in my circle. And I think that is a definite benefit of Lean In circles. And I think that I absolutely believe there's more strength more strength comes from, you know, working together and supporting each other. I think that overall the message of the book that I feel where I feel like Lean In, I came up against sort of the brick wall of Lean In was when I became a mother. So I started reading, I was really believed in Sheryl Sandberg's advice, and that clip you played about the don't leave till you leave, I really remember thinking about that when I was offered a better paying, more prestigious, more responsibility job and decided to go for it. And that was sort of my lean-in moment, even though I knew that I would wanted to become a mother soon. So
according to Sheryl Sandberg, that's exactly what you should have done, right?
I took her advice. I remember really thinking about what Sheryl Sandberg's advice would be. And so I took the job. And there were some great things about that opportunity, but it was a much more traditional work environment. I was the only parent on the team. And I went on to have my son in July 2015. He was born with some serious health problems. He's doing great now. But I sort of, but at the time, you know, when I came back from maternity leave, I felt very lost about sort of what my professional reality was going to be. And I went on to lose that job and really made me question so much about my identity and my self-worth, because I had bought into this idea that, you know, if I put myself out there and I keep charging ahead and I, you know, it's okay to be the only parent on your team because you're going to be a trailblazer and that's going to be mm-hmm. great. And that was not my experience. And so that really led me, I really felt like a failure. And what I realized in it, me feeling like a failure is not Sheryl Sandberg's fault, but what I realized was that I had bought into this idea that if I just work a little harder or negotiate better, that the world would work out for me. And what I realized as I turned my journalistic focus to this, that that is absolutely not true. And that mothers face tons, not just lack of systemic yeah. support, but a lot of discrimination in the workplace.
Well, Anna, I'm sure that you have something that you want to say about that, but I've got to take a quick break here, okay? So,
sure.
So hang on here for just a second. We're talking about sort of maybe the rethinking or the response to what Michelle Obama had to say about Sheryl Sandberg's call from several years ago to lean in, and that maybe for some women or a lot of women, sometimes it doesn't work. But of course, we've got guests today who say it still does. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.
Support for the On Point podcast comes from Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that lets you find candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/onpoint. That's Indeed.com/onpoint. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking this hour about the reaction that was, you know, definitely on the internet and maybe in the lives of a lot of individual women when Michelle Obama, a little earlier this month, the former first lady, talked about the myth, she said, about women being able to have it all, and really referencing Sheryl Sandberg's Lean In book from 2013. And Michelle Obama said, sometimes that stuff just doesn't work. I'm joined today by Anna DiPello Garcia. She is the founder and president of Lean In Latina. She's with us from Stanford, California. Catherine Goldstein is also with us. She's the host of the forthcoming podcast Double Shift, which focuses on the experience of working mothers. And Anna and Catherine, we've got a lot of response coming in online on Twitter at onpointradio.org. Yeah. or On Point Radio, I should say. Jessica Nettles is saying, why do we assume women want to have it all? And what does that phrase even mean? And on our website, onpointradio.org, HelloKitty0580 says, as if women haven't been leaning in since forever and still getting slammed down by the patriarchy. So Anna and Catherine, keep talking to each other. I mean, what do you think, Anna?
Yeah, so while I agree we need to demand change from employers, absolutely, I will continue to advocate for women, especially of color, to lean in. Mm-hmm. I think this is very important. And Catherine, you know, and just sort of looking at a quote from a recent New York Times article around, you know, some of these issues, you mentioned it's an inherent message, is that corporations and workplaces are basically benevolent and good. That's definitely not how I see it. And you know, when I really look at the mission of Lean In, which is helping women to achieve their ambitions and work to create an equal world, that's really how we're centered and what we're doing in Lean In Latinas. And there's a catchphrase that we're continuing to use in this around having a choice to have it all. And for many women, especially women in Lean In Latinas, with Latinas having the largest wage gap, it's not a choice. It's what we have to do to try to do it all. You know, when I looked at the demographics of your circle, Catherine, it was really around, you know, women that were well-educated, white-collar. That's really not the demographic that you're going to find in other groups such as Lean and Latina. So there's some inherent differences in perspectives that I think sort of make this a really great conversation this morning.
Yeah. And, you know, I just want to say, I in sort of encouraging all of us to talk with each other, I don't want anyone listening to think I'm trying to pit you two against each other. That is not at all the goal here. We're just getting, you know, a diversity of views on this issue. So Catherine, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I don't think that Lean In says explicitly corporations are ultimately benevolent, but I feel that that is an underlying message of it, because if what's the point of personal responsibility and sort of putting yourself forward and raising your hand and showing that your work is good and that you've worked hard if that isn't received with some amount of fairness? And in my research, I just have found that there's very extensive discrimination against women, really mothers in the workplace. And of course, women of color also have very significant issues with pay gap. So
even more.
My question for you, Anna, is how do you feel like Lean In works in environments that aren't just sort of people haven't promoted women because they didn't raise their hand or that they didn't speak up, but in work environments where women are being openly discriminated against?
You know, I think that's a really great question. And what I've seen within the group is those are real issues. Absolutely, Catherine. But we need to be empowered with tools and how we can manage that from even our individual sort of perspective. And that has helped me personally, you know, being able to feel confident in my voice, being able to address the wage gap in just what can I do as far as negotiation. What are we doing for the members of the group to have negotiation skills? These are very fundamental skills that we are employing within Lean In Latinas. These are skills that many of these women don't get from home, as I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
So it's from a very fundamental place for us.
So Anna, can I just jump in here for a second on that?
Because absolutely,
because you know, there's no issue that's either one thing or the other, right? I mean, these especially when it comes to women and work and family, it's all very complicated and nuanced. And so I guess part of what I'm hearing from both of you is that. And I'm very taken by you saying that even just hearing Sheryl Sandberg call for women to try to empower themselves, that was vitally important to you. Because I feel like there are issues that we should talk about that, you know, for maybe for some women, by virtue of race, education, socioeconomic status, there was already the presumption that they might have had that, yeah, I should be asking for these things. But maybe for other women, they didn't even think they could, right? So Sheryl Sandberg provided some empowerment there in saying, like, yes, you should network with each other. You do have the right to ask for more at work. That seemed very powerful to you.
Absolutely. And with information.
Right.
Their recent release of the Women in the Workplace study is filled with information that I wouldn't otherwise have as the founder and president of Lean In Latinas. And data and information is power. And, you know, this type of information is power that we can bring to the workplace.
But of course, Catherine, what I hear you saying, though, is that there are limits to even to that power, right? For as long as the structure of the workplace itself, leave policies, et cetera, aren't fundamentally changing.
Totally. And, you know, for example, if a woman has a baby between 25 and 35, which are prime childbearing years, her earnings never recover. And for every child a woman has, her earnings go down. And for fathers, their earnings actually go up. So I think that there are certain things. I wrote an op-ed earlier this year about anti-mom bias in the workplace, and I received hundreds of emails of stories of people who felt that they had been discriminated against in the workplace because they were mothers. And so the thing that I really question about Lean In is I think that we can give ourselves tools and understand the value of speaking up for ourselves, but I think a lot of times when that's not enough, it has led I found in my reporting, it has led women to internalize their own discrimination and say, like, I must have not done this right, or it must be because I'm not a good worker, or, you know, these things that are really, I think, outside of their control. And that, to me, is a really important part of this that I think Lean In doesn't address, and that I feel like has been difficult for a lot of mothers, especially mothers who have achieved success in their careers, to then become feel like they're being treated like third-class citizens because they're mothers. And I don't think that there's sort of workshops or playbooks for that. I think that we need to be angry about that, and we need to sue employers over that.
Right. Well, you know, Anna and Catherine, our phone lines have lit up like a Broadway marquee. Okay? So let me
conversation.
These folks in, because otherwise they're going to be like, what? Magna, you're making me wait. Okay, so let's go to Melissa, who's calling from Boston, Massachusetts. Melissa, you're on the air.
Hi, Magna. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to call because I think both of these viewpoints actually have resonated a lot with me personally. I'm a mom of two little kids. I work full time. I'm actually in a management position in a big national corporate company. And I've had to lean in, like Anna, I think, was saying, where I didn't have the choice. I had to work my way. I didn't have a, you know, family money to fall back on. I put myself through school and grad school, and I had to work hard and do it and push myself and be a bit entrepreneurial and get things that I needed. And even so, when I had my second daughter, part of my income and my bonuses were going to be withheld when I was on my, you know, 11 meek weeks of unpaid maternity leave. And it wasn't notified until sort of last minute. And I simply said to my bosses, or anybody who would listen to me, wow, this is so not a problem for any of your male managers, is it?
Yeah.
You know, I worked. Those bonuses are from months that I worked. Why shouldn't I get it, even though I'm on technically short-term disability?
Right.
And so, yeah, it was, I had to do it. And still, to, you know, I ended up getting my bonuses, but without acknowledgement.
Yeah.
You know, nobody said, okay, we're going to do this for you. It just sort of trickled into my bank account.
Right. Well, Melissa,
which I was grateful for, but, you know.
Melissa, thank you so much for your call. And I hear what you're saying. Anna, I heard you want to respond to Melissa there.
No, I mean, what she was saying is exactly my life experience, you know, and, you know, having a choice of having it all is really not the narrative for many women. There is, you have to do it all. And that was my life. I couldn't sit back and say, well, I can't have it all, and I'm not going to work. And I mean, I would have liked to have choices, but for me and for our guest, you have to do it all, and you have to figure out, how do I be the best mom? Yeah. How am I going to be the best employee? What tools do I have to increase my earnings? And that's why Lean In, that's what came together for me. And that's what's resonating with the members of Lean In Latinas.
Yeah. So let's go to Rigel, who's calling from Columbia, Missouri. Rigel, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. Go ahead.
Okay. So I am a lawyer and a law professor. And I have kind of I've been skeptical of the Lean In book when I first read about it. I just didn't think it didn't really speak to me. Even though I was one of the only sort of young female members of my faculty, and I was one of the only ones having babies, at the time I first started, I didn't like the advice that she seemed to give about sort of pushing your family to the side or not putting out pictures of your family on your desk. And I am being one of the few women professors on my faculty, I'm kind of a role model for a lot of our female students. Mm-hmm. And so last year I was widowed, and so now I'm a single mom of two young kids. And a couple weeks ago I had to bring my young daughter to class with me. She was sick and I had no other backup, and she just created havoc. She was doing cartwheels. She was drawing funny pictures on the board behind me. I looked at it and thought, oh, this was a complete disaster. I've lost all credibility with my students. I went back to my office, and then I got so many messages from my students, particularly my female students, saying how much it meant to them to see that I had a daughter and to see that sometimes things don't always work perfectly. And sometimes, you know, you got to bring them to work with you, and they cause chaos.
So to not hide, to be proud and open about this part of your life as well. Rigel, thank you so much for your call. Catherine Goldstein, let me give you a quick chance to respond to what you've been hearing with our callers so far. And then there's another voice I want to bring in here. So go ahead, Catherine.
Yeah, I think that's a great story. And I think it's really important. I think that the conversation around can women have it all is so dead that I'm making a whole podcast where I'm never going to discuss that, because I think it's completely irrelevant. I think it's the answer is no, you can't have it all. And that so we need to start having new kinds of conversations. And I think having much more realistic portrayals of what motherhood is and being transparent about that, and, you know, not sort of falling back into I need to be the perfect worker, and being the perfect worker means showing that I don't have caretaking responsibilities. Like, we have to challenge that in our daily lives, and people in leadership roles have to really set a good example with that.
Catherine and Anna, hang in here for just a second, because I want to bring into the conversation now Kathleen Gerson. She's a professor of sociology at New York University whose work focuses on gender, families, and work. And she's author of The Unfinished Revolution, Coming of Age in a New Era of Gender, Work, and Family. Professor Gerson, welcome to On Point.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's really wonderful to have you. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. But the reason why we wanted to invite you into this conversation is because I'm curious. I'd like to explore a little bit about how, women can successfully or not, do their best to form their own networks and lean in at work as much as possible. But we still have the superstructure of, American working culture, of business culture, of policies surrounding us. So how much difference can leaning in make when we have things like antiquated family leave policies still as the norm in the United States?
Well, there's a short answer to that question and a long one. I guess the short answer is we really, all of us, need to start leaning in and fighting for humane, gender-equal work and family policies. And if we could collectively put our efforts in that, then we wouldn't necessarily be caught in this bind of do I fight for myself and what kind of perils does that pose for me? I think the longer answer, it's been this a fascinating conversation, and many of the points that have already been made, I would have made myself had they not, so I don't want to repeat those. Mm-hmm. But what I will add to this is that it's interesting to me that after 3 to 5 decades of women leaning in, we're still talking about this as if this were a woman's problem rather than a social problem. A problem for all human beings who rightly need and wish to integrate productive work and care and family commitment into their lives. And it's time that we changed the conversation, that we changed the metaphor. It's not just about women, and certainly not just about middle-class women. It's about all of us. It's about the future of our and well-being of our society at a time in history when it is no longer a matter of who has to work and who doesn't. We all have to confront the increasing conflicts and intensifying demands, by the way, at work and at home that all American workers are facing.
Good point, right? Because the relentlessness of the demands of work seem to be weighing ever more heavily on everyone, women and men. Anna DiPella Garcia, what do you think about that? This is so exciting. I'm talking over myself, so forgive me, everybody. But Anna, what do you think about what Kathleen Gerson is saying?
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think we're all heading in the right, in the right direction, just from our talk today. And just with Lean In, it's really about advocating for better public policies and a more equitable workplace. And I think that's spot on. I think we're going to all need to lean in together to get there.
Have you seen changes in your own workplace since you formed Lean In Latinas?
Yes. What it's also has done is really raise the issue of the importance of inclusion and diversity.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen that, some awareness around that.
Right. Well, you know what? We've got a lot of callers who want to have their say. So when we come back from this quick break, I will let them do so. We're talking about sort of maybe rethinking Lean In, getting a lot of different points of view about that following the former First Lady Michelle Obama's comments about sometimes that stuff just doesn't work. We'll be right back. This is On Point.
Did you kill Marlene Johnson?
I think you're one of the first people to have actually asked.
From WBUR and ZSP Media, this is Beyond All Repair, a new podcast about an unsolved murder that will leave you questioning everything.
Somebody should be in jail for murdering my sister.
A woman who's never been believed.
As long as they think I have done this, then they're not looking for who actually did this.
And that's what makes it a cold case.
No, it's a botched case.
And a search for the truth, once and for all.
Wow, it just gets more interesting.
Beyond All Repair. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Be careful. You're digging in a place that's been very peaceful for a while.
Do it anyway. Dig.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This hour, we're talking about reaction to former First Lady Michelle Obama saying that sometimes that Lean In stuff just doesn't work. And Lean In, of course, referencing Sheryl Sandberg, Facebook Sheryl Sandberg's 2013 book, really encouraging women to lean in more at the workplace. And there's so many comments coming in online here. For example, Sarah Teague on Facebook says, the thing that annoys me about Lean In, men don't have to do it. It's not equality if you have to work twice as hard. Christy Smith on Twitter is telling us, parked in my car, my child in the rear seat, running errands for work and home, leaning in is mandatory and exhausting. Erica says, telling women to lean in sounds a lot like saying, pull yourselves up by your bootstraps. Individualism isn't effective when facing systemic sexism or racism. Oh, there's even more. Okay, so Mari McAvenia? Mari, if I said your name improperly, I'm so sorry, but she sent us a comment on our website saying, white women do not stick up for other women. They aspire to be just like white men. Perhaps Latinas and black women are more familiar with sisterhood as a means for empowerment for all females. But that kind of mutually supportive behavior runs afoul of the me-first narcissism that defines white culture in America. Wow. So Catherine Goldstein, let me get your response to that. What do you think about what Mari sent us online?
I think that there's definitely many kernels of truth in that. I would probably agree with her sentiment. I think my own experience with motherhood, I think, showed me a lot more about what it means to be a third class citizen. And I think that gave me a lot more empathy for what people who have a lot less privilege, a lot fewer privileges than I do, deal with in the workplace all the time. Because I think I spent my 20s not fully attuned to that on a visceral level. Mm-hmm. So I think that idea of personal responsibility is, you know, I do think that potentially could resonate more with a white audience. But obviously, Anna may have different opinions.
Yeah. Anna, do you want to share your thought on that?
Yeah, it was very interesting. You know, it's very interesting as sort of the remark around a sisterhood when I heard in that last comment. You know, it's again, this isn't about individual success. And I wouldn't say it's specific even to women of color. You know, I have an opportunity to interact with many leaders of Lean In, and it's collective success. And I think the overall arching takeaway that I'm having from our discussion today is we have to lean in together, regardless of what demographic we come from. We clearly have different backgrounds, different upbringing. I think we all need to lean in together to address some of these issues and policies that we have, and recognizing that we do have differences.
Yeah. Well, let's go to Jan, who's calling from Richmond, Virginia. Jan, you're on the air.
Thank you. My basic comment is that leaning in tends to be landing on, leaning on your colleagues. In terms of women all in a workplace, it is the woman who has chosen not to have a child who is the one who's often put upon by her colleagues who have chosen that lifestyle. I think it's very important for all women to realize that because a woman has not opted to have a child does not mean that she is there to serve you and to take up your responsibilities. If you opt to have a child, be the woman and take care of that responsibility to the best of your abilities, or choose a career which allows you a greater flexibility in raising your children.
Okay, Jen, actually, hang on here for just a second. Jen, don't go away. Kathleen Gerson, what's your response to what Jan's saying?
Well, I think Jan is pointing out the kinds of divisions among women that this kind of conversation can so understandably produce. And what I would argue is we have, again, just to repeat myself, because I think this is the missing part of the conversation so far, we have to talk about men as well. We have to talk about human beings. Women are not the only people who make decisions about whether or not to have children and how much care and what kind of care to give them. Men do that as well. Men are fathers. And as long as we continue to focus on, whether you want to call it leaning in or having it all, both phrases I think are highly problematic. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is we need to move the focus away from this being a woman's problem, which I think by definition leads us to dividing, you know, the danger of dividing women against each other, when in so many ways we may come up with different answers to the problem, but we're all facing the same problem.
Yeah.
And I do think the answer is we have to start talking about the two missing ingredients. Well, I would say three. The first is men are workers and parents too. And today's world, women are just as likely to be holding jobs as men. And by the way, men say that they want equality, but that they don't have the option either because of the pressures on them. Now, I'm not trying to let men off the hook. I'm just saying that we are living in a world where our ideals are not, it's very difficult to reach our ideals based on the current system. And so I would argue that let's change the conversation. Let's talk about the fact that all human beings, regardless of their gender, should have the option and the right to make their both their work and their family choices in a context not only of equality, where their options are equal, but in a context of a humane workplace.
So, Kathleen,
where nobody has to work 80, 90 hours a week just to hold on to a job that they need to support their family.
I actually just want to turn to Catherine Goldstein here again for a second, because Catherine, at the beginning of the hour when I first introduced you, you were talking about how your views of lean in changed after you became a mother. And Jan, our caller, who's hopefully still with us, I mean, you heard her say that perhaps there are jobs in which I think that's what Jan was implying, that maybe, you know, if being a mother comes into conflict with the demands of the job, then that's not the right job for you. I was just wondering what your response is to what Jan was saying.
So I hear this a lot, and Jan used the phrase lifestyle choice. So I don't think being a mother is a lifestyle choice. I think that it is a right that people have, and I think it's workplaces need to change so people don't feel as though mothers get special treatment. I've heard a lot that mothers are getting special treatment, and it's up to people, you know, single people without children to pick up the slack. Studies show mothers are actually more efficient workers than other kinds of workers, but that doesn't change, you know, if you work at a workplace that has unfair policies that feel like they privilege some people over others, workplaces need to address that holistically, not say, like, you're a mom, so you get to leave at 5. You're not a mom. You have to stay till 7. That's a bad workplace. And blaming mothers for bad workplace policies, I think, is a form of sexism.
Well, Jan, if you're still with us, are you still there?
I am.
Okay, so you heard what Catherine had to say, that the problem isn't necessarily women choosing motherhood, but a workplace that doesn't make accommodations for everybody.
That's certainly, hopefully, a possibility. However, when there are women in administrative positions who look at the Barren Uterus Club and say, well, you don't have a family, so can you then take this particular duty? That's unfair.
Yeah.
And in many cases, it's not a female who's making that request. It's a male who's making that request. You don't have a family, so you can do this.
Right. Well, I
agree. I think that's a terrible workplace policy, and that creates more resentment towards mothers.
No doubt. Jan, thank you so much for your call. Let me just go to another one here. Chris is calling from Syracuse, New York. Chris, you're on the air.
Hi. Can you hear me?
We can. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. I love the conversation, and I love Lean In when it came out. I am a workplace psychologist, executive coach, and a mom. My kids are now out of high school, out of college. But two things. When Lean In came out, I heard afterwards that, like, the CEO of Costco gave the book to all of his senior executive team and then had HR review all of their work family policies, equity of pay, things like that. And I'm not sure that everyone did things like that, but I think that it isn't an either or, and it's an either and or both and. You know, there is internalized sexism. I work with very senior executive women who hold themselves back from certain positions, like that book that came out a couple years ago, The Confidence Code by Katty Kay and Claire Shipley. I mean, very senior women will think, you know, not raise their hand. I shouldn't. Why? They hold themselves back. And I'm not saying that it's not somehow easier or they're more privileged because of their education or background. But I still think that there is internalized sexism and we do hold ourselves back, but it's not the whole solution. We need these, like the Catherine Gerson makes such wonderful points.
Yeah.
And I'll just mention one other book I loved, Bridget Schulte's Overwhelmed, Work, Play, Love and Play When No One Has the Time. And it's really looking at that whole system of work and family and why, you know, we all need things to change at work. So those are my points.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for your call. Anna, let me go back to you here for a second, because there's something that's sort of been bubbling underneath the surface that I wanted to talk with you about. And Chris's call reminded me of it, because Catherine actually said it earlier, mm-hmm. that, you know, while I heard you say that it was very important and empowering for the women who've joined Lean In Latinas to form this network, this group of women who are supporting each other in their ambitions in the workplace, I'm wondering, have there ever been any situations in which, you know, it hasn't worked, that the goal of a member of Lean In Latinas, like, she wasn't able to meet it, and she internalized that as something that she had done wrong and wasn't successful at, versus perhaps she had run into the limits of what the workplace, you know, the workplace was pushing back. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. And, you know, I wish I had examples of that. That hasn't been my experience. You know, we recently had a conference. We had a member come in as far away as from Switzerland for the conference. And, you know, those stories aren't coming to the surface. What is coming to the surface is that these women are feeling empowered. These women are feeling like, yes, I can step up and negotiate. I can do these things. And there's also a cultural element here. You know, that is the environment that I grew up in a Latino household, is, you know, I wasn't looked at as a future CEO or COO. You know, Lean In has empowered us to feel that, yeah, we can do these things.
Yeah.
We can speak up. You know, it's fine for us to do these things. And so, there are real challenges mm-hmm. in the workplace. I absolutely agree with many of the points that, you know, that are being made here. And so what I'm taking away from this again is not leaning in as individuals, but leaning in together. And it's not exclusive to women. This includes men as well.
Let's get one more call in here. Maybe two, but let's try. Nancy is calling from Farmington Hills, Michigan. Nancy, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. One thing that has not been talked about in this conversation, and I like the person who said that the answer to the question lean in is we've already answered that, and I think that's true. We teach our kids they have to make choices. You can't do cheer, dance, and soccer. You got to pick, and it's the same with adults. You have to make some choices of what's going to work for your particular circumstances, and no one gets to define that but you and your partner or you by yourself. And one of the options that has not come up in this conversation is about staying in your same career so that you're not losing ground but taking a lesser position in terms of number of hours. In my community, we have teachers that are able to job share. So they're doing exactly the same job. They're not losing seniority, but they have a little bit more flexibility for their family.
Right.
Because sometimes what we really want is flexibility. It's not to stop doing the work that we enjoy. I was able to take an EB position that's part-time. I haven't lost any of my credibility in terms of my career while I've had that flexibility to take care of my family and my kids.
Nancy, I'm going to jump in here and say I completely hear your point, but I think the key is if the profession that you're in or the company that you're working for, the organization, offers that kind of flexibility. But really interesting point, Nancy. Thank you so much for your call. We're running down on time here so quickly. Kathleen Gerson, we've just got a minute or so here left. Do you have a final thought for us?
I do, especially given, and it's a response to the last caller, which is we talk a lot about in this society about choices. We don't talk enough about how the institution set up our options. We can only make choices within the context of the options that are available. So that sounds very abstract, but concretely what that means is that over the last 30, 40, 50 years, the social context for work and for family life have increased. The normal full-time work today isn't 40 hours a week, it's 50 or 60 hours a week. We have ratcheted up our standards for how much attention and time we should give our children, for example.
Yeah.
Parents are spending more time today with their children than they were 50 years ago when we had stay-at-home mothers. The point is that
we just got a couple of seconds, Kathleen.
We have to confront the nature of our society so that we create institutions that give people real choices, not having to choose between work and care, but being able to integrate work and care. And that is going to require reforming the way that we work and the communities in which we raise our children, so that these choices are reasonable choices and not terrible choices.
Well, you know, I have to say, we could have another full hour of this conversation and not exhaust all the aspects of it that deserve close attention. But I just want to say thank you to all of you today for joining us. Kathleen Gerson, professor of sociology at New York University, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And Anna DiPello Garcia, founder and president of Lean In Latinas. What a pleasure to speak with you, Anna. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Catherine Goldstein, journalist and host of the forthcoming podcast, Double Shift. Catherine, it was a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Folks, keep your comments coming about whether you think women can have it all and what we need to do to help working families of all stripes at onpointradio.org. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.